So good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today at Mason, Hayes & Kern's annual energy conference. This year's conference is titled The Future of Energy Investment in Ireland. And I'm hoping after the sessions today, you know, we're all going to be in agreement that, to quote a famous Cork man, say an opportunity effing a norm. Some of you may or may not get that, but we'll share the video afterwards. So we decided after last year's event in Dublin that due to the number of key clients we have in Cork and Munster, as well as Cork's importance as an energy hub, and the increasingly important role it's going to play in Ireland's energy transition across offshore wind, onshore wind, green hydrogen, solar, as well as being a key location for the establishment of international multinationals, that it was important that we held the event here this year. And I'm delighted so many of you could make it. And I appreciate that people have traveled far. Some haven't traveled far at all, which is great and a relief for them, I'm sure. But some people have come from the UK, from France, from Spain to be here. But as our Cork clients, friends and colleagues might say, sure, where else would you rather be? So our annual energy conference is really intended to do three things. First and foremost is to say thank you to our clients and contacts in the energy sector by bringing together interesting speakers and providing an opportunity to network. Secondly, it's to help raise awareness of the issues that are being faced by the sector and to stimulate debate as to how those issues might be fixed. And I'd ask everyone in the room not to hold back today. Be as provocative as you can be in asking questions and raising issues that you're experiencing. And last but not least, it's to demonstrate the strength and breadth of MHC's legal services focused on the energy sector, which is one of the key sector focuses of the firm. So look, fingers crossed we managed to achieve a few of those today. I'll shortly hand over to the MC for the day, Jonathan Healy. But before doing so, I just wanted to express my sincere thanks to Minister Michael McGrath for taking time out of his very busy schedule to be with us today. I think to have the Minister for Finance attending an event like this, only a few weeks out from Budget Day, demonstrates how important the sector is to the continued success of the Irish economy. So thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, and good morning, everyone. I'm absolutely delighted to be here with you all this morning, and it's really heartening to see such a large turnout. I'm sure it's not for me, but it's for the discussion that's going to follow later on, and listen to many of the experts who will be contributing here this morning as well. And I also want to thank Mason Hayes Curran for giving me the opportunity to come home to Cork on a Wednesday night, my home, even though I have to go back to Dublin again in a minute. It was nice to have an opportunity to come back home once again. But I do want to compliment Mason Hayes Curran for this annual conference, the first time being held in Cork, and I think it's appropriate and fitting that it is held here this year. And I want to also acknowledge the support of the Irish Examiner. And in particular, I want to thank Owen Cassidy, of course, from Mason Hayes Curran, Will Carmody, the managing partner, Emer Shelley, ESG partner, and Peter McLay, energy partner, and all of the energy sector team in Mason Hayes Curran for organising an excellent lineup today. And I think it's going to be a very exciting and a very engaging event. And it is certainly very, very timely. I know the company, the firm, continues to provide expertise and advice on helping firms to navigate the complex legal and commercial issues that arise in the energy sector. So it is very timely and apt to have a discussion here this morning on the theme of this year's event, the future of energy investment in Ireland. And you have gathered a very varied group of guests, and I know it will make for a very insightful discussion over the course of the day. Cork has long been an energy hub in Ireland, but I think its importance as an energy hub will move to another level in the coming years as we exploit the potential that we have, particularly in the offshore renewable space, and I'll speak more about that in a moment. Central to maximising the potential of this will be the development of the Port of Cork, who recently launched their master plan, setting its future course out to 2050. It is uniquely positioned with planning permission and a foreshore licence. The Port of Cork is the ideal location to accommodate the offshore renewable energy development and provide the essential enabling infrastructure And we do need to consider all of the different elements and components that are essential if we are to reach the potential that is undoubtedly there. The master plan of the Port of Cork involves moving port activity entirely, eventually, from Cork City downstream to the Lower Harbour in Ringaskiddy, with easier access to deeper waters and shipping lanes, and to allow the city centre here along the City Quays and Tivoli, the current container terminal, to be developed for mixed-use development, for housing, for offices, for retail, in what will be one of the most exciting urban regeneration projects in the country, underlining the importance of this city as an economic and social centre. Of course, around the future of energy policy has to be a recognition that climate change and environmental degradation are threats to us all. And we are now getting daily reminders of the existential nature and the severity of that threat, and indeed the acceleration of the threat in recent times. The effects of climate change are already clear and evident, with extreme heat waves, droughts, wildfires having swept many parts of the world. And I know you will all join with me in expressing our deepest sympathies to the people of Libya. Watching the scenes on television and on social media since last Sunday has been really heartbreaking, the devastation caused by the recent catastrophic floods. And of course, we also extend our sympathies to the people of Morocco for the terrible tragedy that has befallen them in recent days as well. This year, 2023, is now virtually certain to be the warmest year since records began in the mid-1800s. So if we ever wanted a wake-up call, that statistic is as stark as it gets. From a European perspective, the State of the Climate in Europe report published earlier this summer points a stark picture of the existential crisis that we're facing, highlighting that our continent in Europe has been warming twice as fast as the global average since the 1980s, with far-reaching impacts on the ecosystems on which we rely. And so when we ask developing nations to do more, they will rightly point the finger back at us and ask, what are we doing because of the contribution that we have made to causing climate change in recent times. And there's no doubt that climate change is taking a major human, economic and environmental toll, and that there's a collective responsibility on all of us to take urgent action. It's not about pointing to the person next to us or the other business or the other sector. We all have to work collectively and in a spirit of collaboration if we are to make progress, and we must make progress, and we must do so urgently. So it's essential that efforts are stepped up towards meeting the Paris Agreement objectives of holding the increase in global average temperature to well below 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels, and to pursue every effort we can to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. This is vital if we are to keep Earth habitable and our ecosystems functioning. What greater challenge, what more important challenge could there be for this generation? And we must not fail. At a global level, we need to dramatically reduce the amount of greenhouse gases released into the atmosphere if we're to have any hope of delivering on the objectives of the Paris Agreement. And achieving this goal will involve nothing less than a full transformation of our economy and our society. And it is not going to be easy. We know we must act, and by acting now, we can build a cleaner and a greener economy and society which creates opportunities for all of us, as well as challenges. It is clear we need to invest in our future, and in particular in our energy infrastructure and energy systems, which in turn has a vital role in supporting the decarbonisation of other sectors across the economy. The move to renewable energy is, in many respects, the great enabler of change across a whole range of areas of our economy and our society, including transport, our heating systems, and indeed the role of industry. Our government here in Ireland is committed to playing a leading role in tackling climate change. And over the past number of years, since the current government came to office in 2020, we have significantly amplified our focus on climate action. with climate issues now to the fore of every single decision that we make as a government. In particular, we have legislated through the Climate Action and Low Carbon Development Act. We've committed to halving greenhouse gas emissions by 2030 and to reaching net zero by 2050 at the latest. The Climate Act represents a landmark development as it has established a legally binding framework, which also significantly strengthens the governance framework, notably through establishing a system of 5-year carbon budgets, related sectoral emission ceilings, and then we have an annual climate action plan that sets out in detail the actions that must be taken if we are to achieve our goals. In line with our increased ambition, in December of last year, we published the third iteration of the climate action plan, CAP 2023, which identifies and sets out the far-reaching policy changes across every sector to deliver the necessary emissions reductions. And preparations are now underway on the next iteration of the Climate Action Plan. Through our plan, we've set out a pathway to transitioning to a more sustainable and a low-carbon economy by presenting the direction of travel for the various sectors such as electricity, transport, buildings, industry and agriculture. And this is important in terms of signalling what types of investments are needed and indeed where they are needed. The plan includes actions and measures that will transform and will improve life in Ireland. It involves an ambitious programme of retrofitting homes, supporting sustainable farm practices that will enable farmers to lower their carbon footprint, working to help decarbonise industry and to support investment in decarbonisation technologies, and working to ensure that sustainable transport modes will account for half of all daily trips. And in this very city, we have very ambitious plans with the Cork Commuter Rail Project, which we are now investing in, and also in the Cork Metropolitan Area Transport Strategy, where we're seeing an increased emphasis on investment in public transport, in active travel for pedestrians, for cyclists, and we will continue with that programme of investment to make sure that we improve quality of life as well as reducing carbon emissions from the transport sector. In relation to the energy sector specifically, we have committed to delivering up to 80% of Ireland's electricity from renewable sources by the end of this decade, which will be achieved through delivering by then 9 gigawatts of onshore wind, 8 gigawatts of solar, at least 5 gigawatts of offshore wind, and at least 500 megawatts of local community-based renewable energy projects, and increased levels of new micro-generation and small-scale generation. We are committed to a sustained programme of investment as a government in, for example, grid-scale renewable electricity generation and storage, expanded and strengthened electricity transmission and distribution network, replenishing and electrifying our vehicle stock, and retrofitting our homes to improve their energy efficiency and replace fossil fuel heating systems. And all of this will help fundamentally to give us energy security, which in the last couple of years, since the terrible war in Ukraine started with the Russian invasion, the fundamental importance in terms of strategic autonomy of having energy security, I think, is now recognised across Europe as being a top priority. Delivering on this level of ambition will require major levels of investment, which will necessitate combining public spending and private investment with direct capital supports, market mechanisms and regulatory requirements, all having an important role to play. In recognition of the importance of public spending to deliver our transition to a low carbon economy, we set out our national development plan, which I brought forward in my previous role, out to 2030 with a total capital envelope of €165 billion. And there are climate tests set out within that plan for all of the major capital projects that we seek to bring forward. We also have a National Recovery and Resilience Plan, which is funded by European Union funding. It prioritises sustainable, equitable, green and digital recovery in a manner that complements and indeed supports the government's climate targets. As well as this, we are supporting the deployment of additional electricity generation through the auction-based renewable electricity support scheme, which is financed by the PSO levy. And as many of you will know, the third onshore renewable electricity support scheme was launched in April, while the results of the first one were announced this summer back in June. And these schemes are essential in incentivising private capital investment to deliver the target of 80% of renewable electricity or electricity from renewable sources by the end of this decade. And I do want to underline the importance of that private capital and leveraging and attracting private capital. And we have done much of it here in Cork in the last number of years. Many companies have come here, have partnered with local companies. And I know you need to see and want to see a sustained commitment from government to accelerate our plans for renewable offshore investment, and I want to assure you of our 100% commitment in that regard. Investment signals from government are also important. We have the carbon tax, which is a central pillar of the government's overall decarbonisation strategy and also helps to drive behavioural changes. So we are providing certainty out to 2030 by setting out a trajectory of increases in carbon pricing, which gives an assurance to consumers, to businesses and investors alike of what the trajectory is over that period of time. And it's not to raise revenue, it is to change behaviour, and we are using every cent of what we collect to give back to the people of Ireland through energy efficiency upgrades, social protection schemes to tackle fuel poverty, and also to support the farming community as they move to more sustainable methods of farming. Other areas of tax are also important in supporting the climate transition. Accelerated capital allowances, providing incentives for investments in energy efficient equipment. The suite of incentives to support the uptake of electric vehicles, including through benefit and kind rules, the zero rate of VAT on the supply and installation of solar panels for private dwellings, which I announced this year. And in a few weeks' time, we will have, as Jonathan said, the budget for 2024. And I am examining what more can be done through our taxation system to accelerate the journey that we are all on towards decarbonisation. And there will be new measures and enhanced measures in the budget to help accelerate that process. It is so vital that we recognise as a government that the scale of investment needed to transform our energy system here in Ireland is beyond what the public sector alone can facilitate, notwithstanding the strength of the public finances and the surpluses that we are running. So it is imperative that we encourage the development of sustainable businesses and to ensure that financial markets increasingly embed sustainability and reorient private capital flows towards sustainable investments, because that can be a real game changer if that happens at a systemic level. And I believe that the sustainable finance sector can play an integral role in contributing to financing the low carbon transition, and this includes the role of sovereign green bonds. Green bonds are a valuable tool for governments as they help to diversify and reduce the cost of capital for green projects by attracting new investors, while also acting as a catalyst to mobilise private capital towards sustainable private sector projects and to develop the market for sustainable finance. So to date, Ireland's sovereign green bond issuance has raised over 10 billion euro, with the proceeds allocated to green projects across six categories, including energy efficiency, renewable energy and clean transportation. It is positive to see that we are seeing sustained consumer and investor appetite for green bonds. The Ireland Strategic Investment Fund, controlled and managed by the NTMA, which is under my own department, is also contributing to the green investment landscape. Last year, the revised ICIF impact strategy was launched, and that includes climate as one of its four key investment themes. Their climate strategy encompasses investments ranging from sustainable infrastructure to new technologies and business models that will help to underpin the transition to net zero across the key carbon emitting elements of the economy, electricity, transport, buildings, agriculture, and indeed the broader enterprise sector. And we've also sought to guide the finance sector through our Ireland for Finance strategy, which is our strategy for the development of international financial services in Ireland, and its successive action plans, including the Sustainable Finance Roadmap, setting out actions to make Ireland a leading jurisdiction for sustainable finance by 2025. So to move us forward, we believe that talent and skills are vital. We want professionals that are capable, informed and enthusiastic about seeking out strategic, sustainable investments and taking calculated risks, at the same time as phasing out investments that are unsustainable in the longer term. So we've invested in training, developed new courses, have upskilled more than 4,000 professionals in sustainable finance via our SkillNet programmes. In this field, Ireland's International Sustainable Finance Centre of Excellence will be a key part in our cultivating talent and the development of strong compliance culture and best practice in Ireland. So we in government are working with our European Union partners as well. And later tonight, I'll travel to Spain, where we have a meeting of the Eurogroup and the ECOFIN. And once again, we will be discussing issues that are directly relevant to the climate agenda, how we help each other across Europe to decarbonise more quickly, resulting in more investment in renewable energy and a whole range of other areas. This work will include ensuring that the regulatory framework include science-based and ambitious standards for what can be considered sustainable for the climate and the environment through the EU taxonomy for sustainable economic activities, which classifies in detail what is actually considered to be sustainable and not. And we want to ensure that consumers and investors know and understand the sustainability risks and impacts of the products they buy and the businesses that they invest in. So for this, we are bringing in comprehensive disclosures and reporting requirements based on the taxonomy. These are large steps, and we recognise that we are in the midst of some very challenging years as we adjust to this new framework. We are at the heart of efforts to develop the regulatory framework to promote consistent and high-quality sustainability disclosures and information for investors, and thereby help finance the transition that we all know we need to take. The EU taxonomy is on course to be the go-to international standard for sustainable investments, offering investors the peace of mind that they are actually financing worthwhile green activities. Indeed, many companies are already publishing sustainability reports, and soon the information legally required will be wider in scope and more comprehensive in coverage, while also becoming clearer, more standardised, which enables better and more consistent interpretation and more accessible. So the EU strategy also recognises the importance of involving all levels of the economy in these efforts, including SMEs and retail investors. Building sustainable, low-carbon businesses here in Ireland is becoming increasingly imperative from a social and environmental perspective, but also from a market competitive and a financial perspective. Developing business models which are sustainable and decarbonised is now crucial to the long-term resilience of businesses throughout this country. Business as usual simply will not do. We must make fundamental transformational change on how we do business and how we live our lives. Companies that fail to decarbonise their activity across their entire business model will simply struggle to attract investment in the future and will become increasingly uncompetitive and indeed unattractive to consumers. And this will undermine our long-term competitiveness if we don't address it. So helping firms to transition to new and more efficient ways of doing business, including through investing in energy infrastructure, is a vital government objective. In terms of supporting the business community, there are a whole range of government supports that are there to encourage decarbonised economic growth, including access to competitively priced finance. And we know that that is a real challenge, especially in the current interest rate environment for so many businesses. We have the SME Energy Efficiency Loan Scheme, launched by the SBCI in July of last year, which is a low-cost loan scheme with a lending capacity of €150 million, designed to support eligible SMEs and primary producers to invest in the energy efficiency of their enterprises. Specific investment measures can include, for example, heat pumps, solar panels, LED lighting, commercial water boilers, electric vehicle charging points, and building upgrades. In addition, under the Climate Action Plan, my own department and the SBCI, together with the Department of the Environment, Climate and Communications and the European Investment Fund, are developing a €500 million residential retrofit loan guarantee scheme for homeowners and landlords. Because we recognise, and notwithstanding the very attractive grants that are there, for many households, coming up with the money that they need to finance a retrofit is a real challenge. And if we can provide low-cost credit through a government guarantee and working with our partners in the financial sector, we believe that will unlock a lot of appetite that is already there to make the change. We're also really conscious that we have an obligation as a government to reform our planning system. So in 2 weeks' time, my colleague Minister O'Brien will bring forward the most comprehensive planning bill in a generation to modernise and reform our planning system. And fundamentally, that will involve giving certainty to applicants about statutory timelines, both at local authority level and indeed at the Planning Appeals Board level. That's a really important reform that we are absolutely committed to. And my colleague Minister McEntee will later this year put in place the new Planning and Environmental Court, which will be a constituent part of the High Court here in Ireland, which will have the dedicated expertise to deal expeditiously with complex planning matters that involve significant environmental considerations. We think that's a really important reform. We have recently appointed a lot of extra judges and we look forward to putting that in place very shortly. On the offshore side, we now have MARA in place. They will deal with the maritime area consents, as you know. They are fully resourced. We have the new director in place and they're up and running now since mid-July. And we look forward to them fulfilling what is a really important statutory mandate. And we will be resourcing on Bord Pleanála significantly to ensure that when formal planning applications come before them, that they have the resources to deal with them as quickly as possible. So there is no going back. We all have to work together in a spirit of collaboration. And that really is my parting message to all of you, because none of us acting alone can make the kind of progress that we need to make. It is by the public sector and all strands of the private sector working together to deal with the greatest challenge that humankind has ever faced. We must not fail. I wish you all the very, very best with the remainder of the conference today. Thank you so much for your attention. And Jonathan, the alarm didn't go off, so you better check, is it actually working properly? Thank you all very much.